Hey, this is Danielle Ogiabalu, licensed professional counselor and certified professional Christian life coach. Welcome to our first podcast after the introduction. Thank you so much for joining us. If you like this podcast, when you're done listening, please like and share and subscribe and send it to all the people that you love. Today, we're going to talk about grief after community violence. The information that I am sharing with you today comes from SAMHSA, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration's tip sheet for survivors of community violence. It doesn't matter whether or not you were involved in the community violence or if you heard about it and saw it on the media, grief is a real thing that we have to discuss. And hopefully at the end of this podcast, you're going to have some strategies and some tips that will help you cope with the grief around the community violence and also help you to figure out whether or not you want to advocate for the situations that are going on in our society today. Stay tuned after this message. Hey, it's Danielle Ogiabalu again, and let's talk about grief. So, okay, real talk, some stuff has been going down in this country that has been pretty foul, and we can't sweep it up under the rug. And as a result, there has been an uprising of many different types of movements to fight against this injustice that we have seen across the police forces of this nation. Now, I want to preface what I'm going to say by telling you that I have nothing against police officers. The ones that are here to protect and serve, we love you and we thank you for all that you do and all that you're going to do. But there are some who are corrupt and are using this power that they have to satisfy their own systemic racial agendas, and the light is shining on it right now. I believe that God is exposing some of these microaggressions and issues that we have in this society so that we can have healing in our nation. Okay, so let's get right down to it. Now, I remember a long time ago, I was a kid. I probably wasn't a little kid. I think I might have been in high school. I don't have the data in front of me, but Rodney King. How many of you all remember Rodney King? All I remember is that's O.J. Simpson. That Rodney King, he was beat up by the police. I saw his face all bruised, his eyes swollen, and he coined the familiar term, "Can't we just all get along?" Do you all remember that? And it really didn't click to me then that this was an incidence of police brutality. And I started thinking about it today. Police brutality has been going on probably more than what we know. But I wonder what kind of video camera recorded that incident? Because back then we didn't have cell phones. So who in the world was walking around with one of those gigantic video cameras while Rodney King was getting beat up? I don't know. Was it the media? Somebody leave me a comment and let me know if you could research that. Was the media recording it, or was it somebody else recording Rodney King getting beat down by the police? Okay, well, a lot of brutality, a lot of injustice has occurred over the years, and it wasn't recorded. You know, it's like stuff happened so fast, it just didn't get recorded, you know? Cell phones were made popular in the late 90s, and stuff happened before then, and it didn't get recorded. So the problem, more than likely, is bigger than what it appears to be. At any rate, today, people are always on their cell phones, and in a moment's notice, they can pull out the cell phone and hit record, and the business is all over social media and in the news. And I think that is one of the best things that has ever happened to us, in spite of the fact that I hate how we have no privacy with all of these cell phones out, people being able to record what we're doing. But I am thankful that the recent things that have been going on in society have been recorded. Some haven't, like Breonna Taylor, who was shot down and killed while she was sleeping. And the officers that were responsible for her death have yet to be arrested. And then there's George Floyd. The whole world witnessed four cops, one cop in particular, with his foot in his neck, which is something that is not new. We'll talk about that later. But they stood around while this man cried out for his mom and hollered, "I can't breathe." And we held our breath while it went on. And then you have the not police brutality incident of the slaying of Trayvon Martin, and his perpetrator got off with no problem. And I can't even begin to mention all the ones that are in the media, because I am experiencing a little bit of stress response as a result pulling these things up. But the bottom line is, when we see violence with our eyes or hear about it with our ears, it causes what we call secondary or vicarious trauma. And we will grieve over the loss, just like someone who personally lost something or someone in their lives. It becomes as real to us. That grief sits in the very fiber of our soul and affects us. It changes us. It messes with our thinking, our emotions, and our reactions. It's deep. And let's talk about the reaction. My first reaction when I saw George Floyd struggling to breathe and crying out for his bereaved mother, I was angered. I felt so angry because I looked at the facial expression of the cop that had his knee in this man's neck, and he didn't really have one. It traumatized me to see that man was killing this man without any type of stress. It was like he could have ate a sandwich while he had his knee in that man's neck, and it wouldn't have been anything different. And I felt enraged. And then that anger turned to weakness. I began to tremble, and I began to weep for that man's family. I began to weep for the people standing around. I began to weep for the young lady, that the young teenager that held that cell phone and recorded the death of this man. That picture stayed in my mind for weeks. That picture invaded my dreams at night. That picture just intruded my thoughts in the middle of a day. And I'm a therapist. I am a therapist, and I see clients. I was dealing with clients trying to process the death of loved ones from COVID. And this all was sandwiched in there together with the killing of this man. And it affected me. I had to disconnect from social media. I had to stop watching the news. I had to stop listening to people talking about it. It ran deep in my soul, and it hurt. It was painful. I realized maybe 2 weeks later, because there's sometimes we just compartmentalize things as therapists and remove ourselves because we're so focused on healing other people. And I had to sit down and attend to my own grief. Once I realized that it was grief, I had to attend to it. So let me explain something about the typical response to grief when you have witnessed violence in your community or the community that you see on the media or social media, etc. The physical reactions that people will have next to grief and anger include trembling and shakiness, because the fight or flight system is activated. When that fight or flight system is activated, a myriad of things goes on in the body. First of all, your adrenal glands release adrenaline, and that adrenaline sets off a chain of reactions that shuts down your digestive and reproductive organs. It increases your heart rate to get more blood to your limbs, because guess what? The fight or flight is to save your life, except this situation is in your mind. It's something you're visualizing in your head. You're not exactly going through it, but your brain doesn't know that what your mind is thinking is not immediately in front of you. So you experience the same thing you would if you witnessed George Floyd laying on that ground dying. So that comes with the trembling and the shaking and the muscle weakness and the nausea and trouble eating because your digestive system has been shut down. And then there's trouble sleeping and trouble breathing because your chest wall, the muscles are tightening up because you're supposed to be running to get away from the bear, but there is no bear. And your mouth is dry because you don't need saliva, because if you're running away from a bear, you don't need saliva to break down food. So stuff shuts down. So can you imagine after you're running from a bear and you realize you're safe, your body calms down. But when you are dealing with reactions to violence and it's in your mind, those images and those thoughts, you experience these symptoms on and on and on and on until your body may just break down and you're exhausted. People with grief deal with the nightmares, the post-traumatic symptoms. After a couple of months, they begin to withdraw socially and don't want to participate in usual activities like work and school. That's depression. That's a normal response to grief. But because you didn't really experience it directly, people think you're supposed to get over it, and that is not true. People are supposed to support you through it. It's a good time to reach out and ask for help, ask for support, find someone that you can talk to or a group you can join to share your grief so that you can process it and move forward. And let me tell you something, there's no timetable for how long it takes for you to get through grief. You get through grief when you get through grief. And it's easier to get through grief if you have the support. It's easier to get through grief if you can process it with someone and line up, make sure your thoughts are not, you know, they're going to be negative, but make sure that your thoughts aren't toxic and that you're not taking any personal ownership or you're not taking any responsibility for the violence that is going on in the community. But it could last for months or, depending on where you are and where the violence is, it could last for years. It all depends on your physical health, whether or not you have some coping strategies in place, whether or not you have supports, and what you've gone through in your life. So someone who has experienced community violence over and over and over again may be numb to it or may be hypersensitive to it, and it just may perpetuate more and more stress symptoms. It may depend on what kind of resilience is in the community. Are they fighting back? Are they advocating for peace and safety in the community? Are they protesting peacefully, productively? Are they talking with legislators and council people to affect change in the community regarding this issue? That will facilitate the healing that we need to get over grief. You know, one thing that I find is very healing, this is my opinion, but one thing I find that was very healing was to see the peaceful protest all over the world regarding the death of George Floyd and the request to end the systemic racism in the United States of America. Doesn't sound so united, huh? But it was very, very pleasing to me to see people marching all over the world for this issue that we have in this country that we live in. This country was the country that everybody looked up to, everybody wanted to immigrate to. It was the place of freedom and hope and, you know, whatever people think positively about it. But that is not the truth for so many who are in the Black community. Think about this. If you are an adult and you are having a hard time processing what is going on with all of the violence in the Black community, all of the discrimination, all of the bad things that have been going on in the Black community, can you imagine how difficult it might be for a child? Can you imagine children who don't even have the critical thinking skills or the prefrontal cortex not even being fully developed? Can you imagine how this community violence affects children? Do you know children are on the internet just as much as teenagers and adults these days? We cannot protect them from everything. They know what's going on and they need support. So how do we deal? How do we support children? We can't just brush this under the rug. They don't have the critical thinking skills, but they think. They think. So I want to encourage those of you who have children that have seen the community violence, let them talk about it. Let them talk about their feelings. And when they have a hard time expressing, look at their faces. Get eye to eye with them. And if you can discern what they're feeling, you can help build their emotional intelligence and tell them you're sad because you saw this really bad thing happen, or you saw that these people did this bad thing to that person. It wasn't nice. Validate their feelings, the crying and the sadness. Don't tell them to get over it or anything like that, but be there in the moment. Be empathic with them and validate them and hug them and let them know you're sad and it's okay because what you saw was a sad thing. Another thing is try to follow the same routines that you can. Let them know that their structure is still gonna be there, that their world is safe. They need safety. They need to know that my household is not going to break down. I'm safe at home with my mom and my dad. Encourage them to play and laugh. You know, when I used to work with children in the therapeutic setting, the language of therapy for children is play. So we don't even have to talk to children. They don't even have to talk to us. We put them in a room with some toys and we let them play and we observe and we track them to see what it is that they're saying and to validate what they're experiencing. If you put a child in a room with some toys and you look at them, they're going to show you what they feel. They're going to show you what's on their heart through their play. And finally, for the children, encourage them, as usual, to go to bed on time and try to feed them healthy meals that will keep their immune system strong, because this stress response from seeing something violent or hearing about something violent in the community will weaken the immune system. And you know what? As an adult, it will do the same. So all those things that I mentioned that you can do for kids, we have to do that for ourselves as well. We've got to turn off the television and turn off social media. We've got to get good sleep. We've got to put nutritious food in our body. We've got to pray. We've got to seek God. We've got to worship. We've got to get in the Word if you are a believer. If not, do whatever you need to do to meditate and get centered and to know that in the present moment, when you are doing what you are doing, you are safe. That there is no bear around you that's gonna maul you. But you have to do whatever you can do to take care of yourself and be kind to yourself, because witnessing something violent is hard on the body. And we are no good to society if we're weakened and destroyed over it. We've gotta get strong. Now for the community, you know, as people, we have to cope. But we've gotta cope as a community as well. And so this is a good time for the community to come together. You know, I've seen, you know, like the candle or the light vigils where people come out with candles at nighttime and stand in solidarity for the one that was lost. And that is a wonderful thing to do. That is a wonderful way to show support in the community and to foster a sense of connectedness and peace. And when people come together, it will allow them and remind them to remember that they have authority. It will allow people who perpetrate to see that you're not going to get away with this. We're going to stand together. We're watching you. We see you. We see what you're doing. We're not going to let you just do what you want to do and sit back and do nothing. No, we're going to stand together as one. And we're going to advocate for peace. And we're going to make sure that if you are in a place of power, that you have to sit down when you don't know how to behave yourself, when you abuse and misuse the power that you have been given. Whew, that's my soapbox. If you need help to recover from grief after witnessing community violence, I would like to recommend that you seek out some resources and try to get help. Do a search in your local community and find a therapist. Go to just Google it and try to find a therapist, or check your local churches, or if you Google it, something will come up. But for those of you who are in the Texas area, you can go to www.hope2healed.com. That's www.hopetohealed.com. One of the things that I want to say is, if I get enough people interested, we can put together a grief group where we can talk about these things openly in a peaceful and protected and confidential space, where we can learn how to heal over the secondary trauma as a result of what we've been seeing lately. And not only heal, but become empowered to stay healed and to wake up and to be a part of the community and a part of the solution. If you have any questions, just feel free to reach out to me. My email address is therapist@hope2healed.com. That's the number two, hope2healed.com. You can reach me on Facebook, and I'll be opening up on some other social media platforms as soon as I learn a little bit more about them. But all I want to tell you is, I am here to help you. Thank you so much for listening. Have a blessed day.